KB4CBA, W4NGU.
4NGU, KB4CBA. How you doing, Phil?
Great. Danny, you must have the microphone in your hand.
I picked it up while you were rattling off my call.
Telling. Is that the way my voice appears to you? Have you had lunch? Of course, you just ate breakfast.
See, I had breakfast at 7 o'clock this morning. I've got a dentist appointment at 12 in 5 minutes, so, but I can eat lunch after that.
Appreciate it, but I got to be with my dad by then. I'm going to get me a quick bite. You're aware, but then I need to be over there with help him feed him his lunch. So I think it was yesterday I heard you played tennis twice.
Nice Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Play at 9 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock in the evening, and then I had 75 cc's of fluid pulled off my right knee last night at the sports clinic at Stedman Hawkins. So, I guess I'm going to have to slow down a little bit. But anyway, I tell you, that hurt too. I mean, I've had fluid drawn off my knee before. My left knee, but man, this was really painful. Man, it was a lot more fluid.
That sounds like a huge amount.
Said the record for him was 120 cc's.
Well, between the sports clinic and the sports club, you're just a sports kind of guy, aren't you? Are you trying to stay in shape or something?
The nice thing about the sports clinic is they have it from 5:30 p.m. till 8 p.m., and it's for sports-related injuries. They see a lot of high school students, you know. He said that he's seen, you know, football injuries since May, you know, when they started spring training. So, but anybody can come, and you know, if they can see you, if it's a new injury, then they'll see you.
Hawkins has got a good reputation in for that kind of thing in the area. I think they do the North Greenville athletic teams, especially football.
Good, and he shot a little quarter zone and some kind of gel in there, so hopefully it'll last a while, and I'll just won't push myself quite as hard.
Well, was it protruding on the underside of the knee? I can't imagine where that much fluid could congregate, for lack of a better term.
Right on top of the kneecap, right above the kneecap, I mean, is where the fluid is, and they just have to stick a needle in there and pull it off with a syringe, but he must have used like a 50 cc syringe, and then he had to leave the needle in there, take the syringe off, and put another syringe on it and get the rest of it. So it was a whole lot of fun. It really, that last 25 cc's was really painful.
Didn't have any problems staying awake during that. Ouch. Well, it's about time for your appointment there, so I better let you go. We'll do lunch another day. WD4, never give up.
Trying to hunt this place, they just moved, and I turned in the wrong. They're on Goings and Road now. They used to be over there near East Side, right there. Baptist Church used to be and or is. And there's a little, you know, office complex right there on the corner, and that's where they used to be. And now they've been Garlington Road, so I guess I should use my little map quest. Anyway, talk to you later. And yeah, have a good one, KB4CBA.
See ya.
QK4BWA.
Hey, Steve. Did you get my cell phone message?
No, I did not, but I'm assuming you're talking about lunch?
That was one of the topics.
Well, we won't discuss the topics over the air. What time are you thinking for lunch?
Well, I'm passing Furman University, and you know where I'm headed, and then I need to go help Daddy eat his lunch or feed his lunch to him. So I don't have an hour, but I would have a leisurely lunch with you if you could join me.
Please?
Roger.
I have to sit around and wait on you over there. I'm at the top of Pelham Road at Haywood Road.
I will make haste, as they say.
Baby? I'll see you. I see you're in front of Furman. Shoot, you're another... You're 20 minutes out.
Me.
Well, what kind of doctor is David going to now? Psychiatrist or dentist or what?
Dentist, but he was describing going to Stedman Hawkins to have fluid drawn off his knee. Every time I think about going to play a little tennis with him, I think about not messing up my knees, and then he says his are hurting, so I just don't know if it's something I ought to get into.
The thing with the knees is past tense. He's already been over, and they drew off 75 cc's off his knee and gave him a cortisone shot and fixed him right up and put in some of that Suparts to lubricate the knee. So he ought to be up and running in pretty good shape here pretty quick.
The bottom dropped out. I had to slow down to 40 miles an hour.
We'll have to have your Friday night or Saturday night bath.
Be a day in the summer and two a day in the winter. That's one thing I don't, I can't stand is being dirty. So I keep that shower hot.
For heater or workout, huh?
Sure. Man, I got a bunch of grass to mow tomorrow if it doesn't rain, but I don't know what the forecast is.
I believe we're going to be getting rain tomorrow there, bud. About the same as today. I tell you what, I'm kind of glad to get the reprieve. I'm going to go and work on my building and try to get it cleared up to where I can get the camper in. And then get a few things rearranged to where I can utilize my building better. So, anyhow, so I'm pulling up the back side of the place. I'm about to pull in.
Well, I'm almost to Cherrydale, so it's your choice. If you don't have time to wait, I won't be offended.
My lunch half eaten by the time you get in there, boy.
Well, that'll be fine. You can just get you another cherry empanada when I get there and just keep on going.
Yeah, that's what I'm afraid of. I tell you what, I fall victim to those things.
And that QT ice cream, they've gone for about, they get as low as 49 cents, and then they go up to 99 cents, and they vary it. I don't know what they do, if it's heat or demand or what, but they vary quite a bit. But they want you coming in there getting those things, don't they?
Well, I'm going to tell you something, Bo. QT has gone up on all of their prices, including their drinks and their snacks and their fuel and everything else. They were pretty good when they first came in here. I wonder if they hired old Stuart Spinks as a manager.
Have. although you can still get two big Qs, and that's a pretty big cup. It's not their biggest cup, for less than $3, because I got me and Teresa one the other day. So it's they got the best selection and pretty much still the best prices. So they got my business for now.
Be it known, Stuart Spinks will never have my business again.
Understand why people go in there. It's so much higher than other gas stations. I really, really don't. He's the closest non-ethanol dealer to me, and that's all I'll put in my mowers and weed eaters. But other than that, that's the only time I go there.
Well, I tell you what, I'm parked right here on the front of the building, on the front corner. And I'm gonna slip on in there and just get me a good 150 to 200 calorie sniff while you're on your way.
Get on the front right there. I'm scared to death somebody's gonna back into me leaving.
You know, they just have to fix it. Well, in the meantime, hey, the next time you talk to Dave, ask him about his Krispy Kreme dreams. And I'll tell you about it when he gets here.
There, W4, never give up.
Clock yet?
Not that far. I'm actually really just getting past Cherrydale. I'm moving as fast as the traffic will let me.
No, I was just curious. Don't go speeding or anything. So you're probably coming up on the Home Depot.
Downtown way, I think it's a little quicker. Beside Cherrydale rather than turning left in front of it. Now I'm almost downtown where the Ham House used to be before it closed.
Oh my goodness, son. So you're going all the way in Poinsett and then turning left on Stone Avenue and coming out with Hampton that way?
I go all the way downtown and come down 385, and then I'm right at the restaurant.
To you, but you're going around your behind to get your elbow. That's fine. All right, I'll see you in about 20 minutes.
Well, it's also a lot easier to get in the restaurant coming from that direction. You got to cut across 291 when you're coming behind or in front of Lake Forest trying to go that way. That can be a kamikaze move sometimes.
You do know you could turn down Stone Avenue, pop right on to Wade Hampton Boulevard, and be straight out.
I'll beat you every time going past Stone Avenue. I've done it enough. But to each his own. Get on in there.
Later, Bubba. KN4 VWA clear.
W4 NGU. NGU clear.
KN4 VWA, W4 DJW.
Did catch me. KN4 VWA.
Just letting you know, the four port hubs came in. We still good for tomorrow?
Cat 5 comes in today. I'll have the Cat 5 strong and in the building and usable, but it won't be buried yet. But that's fine. It can lay on the top of the ground until I can get it all buried at once. And, we should be able to get in there at about... now listen, on Saturdays, there's one law. Steve sleeps till about 9:30. So probably around noon, after I fix Sue a nice little custom breakfast, then we ought to be able to get right at it.
Okay. Well, it shouldn't take long. If you've got the antenna and the coax there and the Cat 5 and 110 volts, we should have everything we need. Set up, take about a half hour, and I'll be out of your hair.
You care if I just simply use... What I'm going to do is I'm going to use that Diamond X50A for this purpose, and I'm going to leave it up at the absolute very, very top of the tower, and then I'm going to get myself something else and just have it as my 2-meter 440 antenna out there, and I'm going to add it on a little bit later. I just feel like it would be the absolute best possibility for us.
I have no problem with that. And if you want to, if you change your mind, there's, I have no problem with that either. Whichever way you want, as long as you get a 2 meter frequency in there, that's all that matters.
So yeah, go ahead and plan on tomorrow at about probably around noon. Is that too early?
There was something. Oh, I'm supposed to take the car and have it serviced, so it shouldn't be. I should be back by then.
You need to make it a little bit later in the day. Just, you know, just let me know. The clock, I'm completely flexible. So, but in the meantime, where are you?
I went down to another desktop to find my calendar, make sure I told you right. I'm watching the turkeys go through the backyard at home. They go through there just about every day now. They go through there in the morning, and then in the afternoon they come back the other way, like they're going back to where they came from.
Sitting in the path, their travel path, between something that they're feeding on, or the possibility is you got some pretty good grub worms or critters in your backyard, insects that they like feeding on. Do they dwell in your backyard?
No, well, no, they come through the male turkey, the rooster, I guess you call him. he kind of keeps an eye out in all directions to make sure everything's safe. And when he figures it's time to move on, they move on. They're all eating while, you know, they're picking at the ground while he's just kind of strutting his stuff and walking around. And when his head goes down and he heads toward the woods, that means he sees danger and they all take off and follow him.
And he is not a rooster. He is a tom.
That's what I was looking for. When the tom puts his head down and starts heading to the woods, that's when all his harem follows behind him.
Well, as long as the hens are hanging out in your grass and kind of pecking at the grass, they like something in your ground that they've been feeding on, and that is a very good thing for your grass.
Yeah, I was out there cleaning up yesterday, and I noticed they left their signatures on the green grass in the backyard, and I guess that doesn't hurt the grass. It probably helps it a little bit.
What do you guys say?
Well, that ain't nothing but fertilizer there, Dave. Yes, sir. That's good for it. Well, Jerry's jumping in there with you, and I'll let you guys carry on. I'm going in to get me something to eat. And I'll talk to you tomorrow. Or do you have an idea on that time frame now?
Yeah, my plate's clean tomorrow, except for if I get a, I've still got to go fill out their webpage to get a time slot tomorrow. So I don't know when that will be. But if that changes the time, I'll let you know.
Roger, roger. All right, well, good deal. Well, 73's Dave. Jerry, jump in there. Y'all taking it and carry on. K-4 BWA, clear.
Steve, hope you have a good afternoon.
Bon appetit, Steve. Don't eat too much, W4DJW. What's up, Jerry?
I just wanted to mention to you, I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but service module in ISS is running APRS digipeater now, so they're running it simultaneously with the voice repeater on the Columbus module, which is something unusual. They just started up about a week ago, so it's active. They used to swap them back and forth, you know, because they only had one radio set up on the Columbus module, but now the service module, which is the Russian side, has the digipeater running now, so I thought you might be interested in that.
Is there, are there any American astronauts up there to talk to, or is it just a digipeater?
The upper side is just digipeater, but the voice side, the astronauts have been pretty active the last month. They've had multiple contacts with people, and they just pick it. They used to do a thing, you know, where they would, two-meter up and two-meter down, but it was a split frequency where they talked to school groups and that sort of thing. But recently, the astronauts have been picking up on the voice repeater and talking directly to hams, which has been pretty cool because it's a good signal, about 25 watts, I think. You can hear them, and they've been on probably half a dozen times in the last month, which is, and multiple astronauts have been on as well, so it's something to hang out and listen to every once in a while. Of course, it's busy as I'll get out, you know. People go nuts whenever they hear them.
I can imagine, but I know they had some trouble with how the American astronauts that were up there were going to get home shortly after the Ukraine war started. Had they resolved all of that?
They're going to take care of them. I mean, there's nothing else they can. I think they found them. I think it's just a lot of grandstanding. I think they were going to take care of it. Otherwise, the SpaceX said they could, you know, send something up there and pick them up if they needed to be. But I hadn't paid that much attention to it because it got real quiet after that. I think they just resolved it, though, from the best I understand. It wasn't going to be the problem they thought it was, you know, when they depended upon the Russians for getting up there and getting back down again. You know, they kind of had them, but now with SpaceX, you know, there's another player in the game now.
Okay, I knew SpaceX had talked about doing that, but I didn't know SpaceX had anything that would dock with the space station. I guess they could build it if they had to. I guess they've got the plans. If they needed to build a docking mechanism for SpaceX, they could probably just assemble that if they had to.
It's been up multiple times to resupply, so they can send supplies and they can send astronauts too.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I never did hear the resolution on that, so I'm glad to hear that. But I won't be, I mean, I've got APERS running, but I won't be over there messing with it. I'm up to my elbows in code. I'm learning a whole lot about digital signal processing, DSP. Have you ever dived down into that?
But I know it's a rabbit hole from what I understand. It's really interesting in some, you know, especially radio-wise, that some radios have had it incorporated for quite a while and just hadn't been common knowledge. It's one of those facets that, you know, it's I'm sure it's extremely complicated. It sounds complicated the little bit I know about it. But, you know, I was surprised that ICOM had some of its radios, you know, quite a few years ago that had DSP built in. And it was just one of those things that until people dug in the radios, they didn't know it existed. It just handled it. They called it something different, but that's exactly what it was.
Well, it's used for all kinds of things, not just audio, but video as well. Audio, video, anything that you convert from analog to digital and back, from digital back to analog, which is about how all of our electronics works with the real world. So DSP is in just about everything that's out there that you know, takes from the analog world and converts it to something that can be stored on a computer and then goes back in the other direction. So it's really interesting. I'm enjoying it, and I do have code already written that I'm following, that I'm tracing through, which makes it 100 times easier, but it's still complicated. You can get wrapped around the axle pretty quick, and so it takes. There's people that make whole careers out of that, right? Out of just a piece of that. So it's a lot of fun, but it's also It's also very time consuming. I'm glad I don't have a job to go to, so I can spend all day every day learning. But it's really interesting. Once you learn it, there's about nothing you can't do from that point forward.
Roger that. You know, the ICOM's introducing a new rig at the Tokyo Ham Fair, I think, later on this evening. We've got an IC905, which looks like the little 705 QRP transceiver, but it's going to cover 144, 70 centimeters, 1296, 2.4, 5 gigs, and has a module to add 10 gigs to it. And it's going to be, I think the 10 gig at least is going to have a remotable power amplifier deal that runs it. You can run it by a POI cable, so you don't have any coax to deal with. You can run it straight up to the antenna. It's just got a digital type link, and also it's going to be probably the first radio that's going to have a USB-C connection, and it's going to have HDMI, and I don't fully understand the Japanese literature when it translates, you know, it kind of goes crazy, but it looks to be that it might handle digital ATV as well, which is going to be a real interesting thing, but It's called their SHF project, and they've been talking about it for a couple of years now, but I don't think it may expect you to have a product out this soon. Of course, it may be a year before you actually be able to buy one. Lord knows how much it'll cost.
Yeah, I'm seeing dollar signs. The Flex radios are up around $6,000 or $7,000 a piece now. Something like that probably break $10,000 easy, huh?
The transceiver itself, the basic transceiver, is just a portable type deal. I think the transceiver itself is going to be probably under $2,000, maybe, because the 10 gig is an option. I think the transceiver will be under 10, but by the time you add the power modules for the, you know, for the 5 and 10 gig and that sort of thing, it can get expensive in a hurry. But I think a lot of it was, I think a lot of it's been due to some of the Q100 satellites, you know, whatever it is. One of the guys that uses a dish to geostationary when they hit in Europe all the time. I think there's a lot of excitement over there about that. And there's some 10 gig, you know, work. There always has been, but it's been just a real narrow sliver of the hobby. But, you know, not having to use transverters and stuff has, you know, hindered it some to mostly experimenters. This might open it up to something else, but who knows? We'll get a better idea of the price probably in a week or so. But the transceiver itself may not be terribly expensive, but they ain't going to be giving them away, that's for sure. It's a tiny thing. It weighs only about 2 pounds, I think.
Well, that's pretty cool. Where did you learn about all of that? Where'd you pick all that up?
Nate Novak is like the ICON product manager for the United States, and they've been talking about it now for several months. They've had this super high frequency project for quite a while now, but it really started bubbling up here in the last 6 months or so, and I saw some. They actually exhibited just a mock-up of what it, a mock-up of what it would look like at the Dayton Ham Vision. But it had like a 705 face that had been changed, and they were just, you know, they said, well, this isn't what it's going to look like. Well, that's what it looks like, but it just says, on the front of it, it says 23 centimeters and 5 gigs and 10 gigs. So, I mean, 2.4 is in there, too. So it's still a mystery as whether or not it's going to be a standalone for some of those frequencies or not, and whether or not the 2-meter 440 is going to be set up for somebody that might be using a transverter. But who knows? I think it's going to be a standalone transceiver for certain bands, and the other ones just going to require, you know, something else. But it'd be cool to have a, you know, remotable, you know, portable type, because those guys on 10, and, you know, they use those horn type antennas, and, you know, they just go like building top. At least that's what my brother-in-law was doing with theirs. And in Atlanta, they get on top of the building, you know, see if they can go like 4 or 5 miles without losing the signal.
W4DJW. Well, 10 gigahertz, you ought to be able to replace hardline. Ethernet line. You ought to be able to, it ought to be as fast as Ethernet. You know, like 1 gig Ethernet should be able to go across that link. But it'd have to be line of sight. There couldn't be anything. Like if a cloud went in between, it would probably disrupt the transmission.
They're using transits and that sort of thing, you know, to get them lined up, because, you know, most of them use those small antennas. They don't use a real, real big antenna, but, and I don't know how much power. It may be just in the milliwatt range. I'm not sure how much you're allowed to run at that level for amateur use, but, it's pretty popular in Australia and some of the other places in the West Coast. But, you know, it's an interesting thing. They always seem like somebody's always coming up with something new. Said, well, you know, I'll never use that. And the next thing you know, somebody could pop up. Who knows? You know, maybe a billionaire like Musk, could say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to put a geostationary satellite over the U.S. and that put a whole new light on it. People would have to be scrambling to get some of that 5 gig and stuff to start working on it.
Yeah, you could do video conferencing with multiple people in there with 10 gig if there was a satellite out there, because there's no, as long as there wasn't any storm or anything, You could do real-time live video conferencing with Europe with very little delay. That would be interesting. Anyway, I got to get back to work. I heard Steve in there. I just want to make sure he knew all my stuff came in. Let him know. And now I got to get back to work. I'm in the middle of doing root mean squared on the imaginary part of the digital signal to find out what the signal level is. Just kind of stuff like that. Just hunting through the code, making changes, seeing if that what that does, changing it back, and going on to the next thing.
Hey, Dave, and you do it well. Have a great afternoon. Didn't want to interrupt. Just wanted to give you a shout. Take it easy. 73 N4DJC clear.
You too. Have a good day. W4DJW clear.
4NDX monitoring.
Patrick, how you doing?
I'm hoping to catch you there. Wanted to let you know that Chad's trying to get a hold of you.
I heard him on the other morning. I thought I heard him calling me, but I normally monitor in the morning downstairs with my handheld, but I barely got the tail end. I wasn't 100% sure if nobody ever calls me. But he sent me an email, and I talked to him about it. I wasn't able to do what he asked me to do, just a little bit too far away.
I just wanted to make sure he got a hold of
it. I'm going to have to run here in a minute. I know it's lunchtime for you, too, but I have to head over to Malden, I guess, here in a little while. But anyway, I'll take care. I might catch you a little bit later this afternoon when I get over there. Stay safe and sell a bunch of stuff. N4DJC clear.
3, Jerry. Have a good day.
4 CBA mobile. 4 WFU. 4 WFU. Anyone by this frequency can help me with a question about a light.
N4 ZLK. What was your question?
My name's Ken, and my wife and I have misplaced our licenses, and evidently we're not smart enough to go on the FCC's website to get a copy of the new one, and I was wondering if anybody at the club or anywhere could help us make the copy.
I don't really know how to help you with that. Somebody else might be able to. You're a little bit noisy. But I think you said you and your wife lost your licenses and you're trying to figure out how to get them replaced. And I'm not sure. I've never had to do that. But somebody else might be able to answer that. If you don't get an answer, there's a net on here on every night of the week at 9 o'clock. Maybe someone can help you then.
KA3JCA.
You can help. N4ZLK.
Yeah, no problem, Shane. Yeah, you're going to have to go to the ULS.gov website. About a month ago, they did change the website. So if you're not registered, you'll probably have to re-register again. But you can also Google your call sign that you previously had, and it should give you a link on to take you to the ULS for the FCC.gov/ULS. And you should be able to download a copy from there. Just keep in mind, one copy that you download is going to say reference copy, and there's a site that says official copy on your license, and you want to print out the official one.
I don't know. It's asking for some kind of 10-digit number and all that mess there, and I don't know anything about that, so I don't know.
All right, it's asking for an FRN number, an FRN number.
The FRN number, and I looked on that website, and I don't know how to get it, so I didn't know if there's anybody on here that had an easier way to do that.
Hold on a second. Let me get to the site here, and I'll get your call sign, and we'll go from there. It's not going to let me access it, because it's going to need your information and password and stuff. But what I can do is maybe look up your FRN number.
I think I've got a login and password. I think I've got that, but I don't mind giving it to you. You know, I just need a copy of my life, you know, my wife.
Got a pencil and a piece of paper. I'll give you my phone number. You can give me a call.
Okay, stand by 1 second. I'll get one. K4WFU, stand by. Come on.
Okay, my phone number is 407-641-7378. Again, 407-641-7378. My name is Richard.
Just a second, my name is Ian.
KA3JCA, standing by.
Richard, N4ZLK.
Problem, Shane. Yeah, I used to do that a lot when I was a VE and so forth like that, help people get their FRN number and so forth. But there was some changes, and I know that people had to log out of the old, or it was going to kick them out of the old system, and they had to re-register for the new system and so forth like that, because that was something we got from the ARRL in a newsletter. All right, let me answer this. Ken's calling now, KA3JCA, clear.
Okay, mobile.
N4ZOK, KB4CBA. How you doing, Shane?
David, I'm doing well. Can't believe Steve tried to get you to eat a half a dozen of donuts this morning.
Steve is always trying to get me in trouble, so, you know, I have to watch him.
I'm not diabetic, but that didn't even sound appetizing, that many donuts at one time.
I used to eat two or three of them anyway, back in the day. You know, it was just like potato chips, you know, you just can't eat one. So anyway, but I miss all that, but, you know, there's a lot of sugar-free stuff out there that's, you know, well sweetened with, you know, Splenda, and then they've got some other new sweeteners out there now. And you know, there's still a lot of stuff out there that I can enjoy.
Parker, his nickname is Donut, and it came from years and years ago. He delivered the Krispy Kreme there, and he's not the kind of guy that'll turn down any food. In fact, one day we were talking, I asked him if he was going to skip his lunch because he had so much work, and he looked back at me and said, "Look at me, do I look like I skip lunch?" So anyway, he used to come in, Krispy Kreme would give him a box of donuts every day, and for the first week or two, those donuts never made it back to the building, but after, I don't know how long it took, but after a while, he just started bringing them in. He couldn't touch them anymore.
There is such a thing as eating so much of something that it makes you sick, and then it just totally turns you off, you know, and you never want another one, so I'm for people doing that.
Heard this, I can't verify it, but it wouldn't surprise me if it's true, but the Hershey plant up in Pennsylvania, I think it's them, one of the candy companies. One of their policies when they hire new employees is they can have all the free candy they want. They can, while they're working, they can eat as much as they want. And they say it only takes about 2 to 3 days, and they don't have any problem with the candy going missing. They partake a lot of it, you know, those first few days, but it makes them sick, and then they just quit.
Yeah, too much of anything can. You can get tired of it after a while, even if it's a good thing. Oh, man. Yeah, I can't imagine working at a Hershey factory. Boy, that would just, man, that would be tough.
Look at the steak factory, you know, where they make the steaks, as long as they were cooked, you know, just enough to make them appetizing.
If I worked at a roadhouse or somewhere like that, I probably, some of those steaks probably would make it to their customer. I'd probably, or at least I'd have to cut off a little bit of it, just, you know, just to make sure, sample it, make sure it was okay.
One of my little secrets, whenever we have my kids over or something, if we're going to do something special, like cooking steaks on the grill, heck, even hot dogs, I always cook a little extra, because while I'm out there drilling them, I have to make sure they're done, you know, and I'm, the best way to make sure they're done is by sampling them while they're cooking.
Yeah, I always did that when I grilled. I don't even have a gas grill anymore. We've got a little charcoal grill we've used a couple of times, but we used to grill a good bit at the other place we lived, and that's been back a good many years ago. So but we grilled, one of my favorites was pork chops. This was we lived in Berea, and just right up the street, there was a meat, I don't know what you call it, stuff, you know, store that sold meat, and they had these big, tall, thick pork, I don't know what they were called, pork loins or whatever. But it looked kind of like a filet, but it was pork, and man, was it good. And we put that on the grill, and oh man, it was really delicious.
Those pork tenderloins that you can get in the store, and they look good. I know my brother's done them. My wife's not a big pork eater, so. I usually don't do much pork, but you're making me hungry, and I'm on the way home. I may have to pull something out of the freezer and thaw it out to grill this weekend.
Yeah, I know. I'll talk about all this food, Bill. I'm just about back at the house. It looks like it's rained over here in Taylor. Is it? It started raining on me. I went down the Garlington Road to a doctor. He just moved his office down there, a dentist actually, and and it rained on me as I got, you know, toward my destination, but now it's looks like it just finished raining here on Wade Hampton because the road's still wet.
To a couple of different places where it had just rained, and it looks like it could rain anywhere right now the way the clouds are.
No, they've been forecasting rain about every day this week, you know, on and off, and we really haven't gotten anything, at least over here where I live in Taylor's, until today to amount to anything. So I may have to cut my grass Saturday.
I think it's been spotty. I came home last night. It didn't rain all day in Greenville where I was working, but got home and it was still drizzling. The roads were all wet. The grass was wet. So there's been showers around, but not widespread.
The thing I found out about my mower, I've got a Honda mower, and it's self-propelled, and it's an overhead valve engine, and it's got a bagger, and I started cutting grass, I don't know, several weeks ago, and it started raining, and I just kept cutting grass, and of course it stopped. It didn't rain real hard, but it rained enough to get the grass wet, and I thought, you know, well, it's not going to bag this grass, it's just going to start clumping up, but it was soaking wet. That grass was soaking wet, but it still bagged it. I was surprised.
Good. I've got an old snapper that I bought, let's see, 31 and a half years ago now. It was right after we got married. And every year I keep thinking I'm going to have to replace it this year. It's about worn out now. But it clogs up like that when the grass gets wet. And I was looking at those Hondas. Excuse me. I was going to replace it with a Honda. And last year they were selling. You could get them at Lowe's, I think, for $409 maybe. I paid $350 for this snapper that long ago. So anyway, but now those same Honda mowers at Lowe's are up to $5.39 now. I guess I should have picked one up last year.
Everybody's saying that about about everything. I mean, you know, wish I'd have bought it, you know, earlier before the prices all went up, but that's the way it goes. Yeah, I had an old Snapper. I bought one. It was an old used Snapper from a guy that rebuilt them, and he said, I haven't even touched this one. And he sold it to me for $400. It didn't have any of the, it was so old, it didn't have any of the safety, you know, stuff on it, no safety switches or anything. So my wife found out the hard way. One day she choked it down, and she just jumped off of it. It was a pull start, and she pulled that rope, and it started back up, and it took off. She had it, you know, in the highest gear, and that thing took off, and she was running, holding onto the handlebars, and she comes around the corner of the house where I was cutting grass, and I had to, you know, let go of my trim mower and jump on the rod mower and stop it for her. The look on her face was priceless.
She's all right, so I can say that's a funny story. Yeah, it's funny how things have changed. Now we get so used to all the safety features, we don't even, you know, we don't remember what we used to do, how things used to be. That's just the way they were, and you had to deal with it.
I remember in my early teenage years, we had like a, I think it was a 28 or a 30 inch cut push mower, and the wheels on the right side were all set so that it threw the grass out right at the front of the frame. That's where the chute was for the, you know, for the grass to come out. And man, that thing was heavy, golly day. And we had a 3/4 acre yard then, and it was plenty of grass to cut. Even for a teenager, I was, you know, it wore me out. But I cut grass for several summers and saved up a good bit of money doing that. I cut several yards in the neighborhood before I was old enough to, you know, get a job, a real job. Well, I'm sitting in the driveway here, so I'm going to pull on in the garage and shut this thing off, going in the house. But, anyway, have a good day. It's good to talk to you. I'll stick around for your final. 73's KB4CPA.
Lawnmowers that had the offset wheels like that. I've used them at other people's house. I used to cut grass too as a kid, and sometimes I'd use their lawnmower. But yeah, I remember those kinds. They were kind of odd looking. Anyway, have a good day, Dave. A good weekend. If I don't talk to you, enjoyed it. KB4CBA and 4ZLK Mobile.